It's 20 past 8 in the evening on Wednesday the 27th of April. And I've been home for a couple of hours, I think. I haven't really done a huge amount in that time, save for phone my parents and let them know I'm home and have a quick look back through some of my tweets and audio diary entries and check that everything's uploaded properly. But I thought it might be helpful to do a bit of an epilogue for this journey. To look back over it as best I can. However, I hope you'll forgive me if words don't come too easily, as my mind is going to sleep very quickly. It would probably have been going to sleep quite quickly anyway, but the Eurostar-supplied Bordeaux has rather helped it along nicely. It's been a good trip. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. The original intention, the reason for doing it this way, was simply that although I have flown with Vance, I don't particularly like doing it. It's quite difficult squeezing him in. So I wanted a way of travelling over to Germany to see my friends there, which didn't involve flying. And also, having for quite a long time been a great fan of seat61.com, which explains some of the best ways to travel to Europe and further overseas by train, and also having interrailed in Europe a bit and done other bits of travel by train, I've always rather fancied doing the journey from London to Hamburg. And in that sense, it was everything I hoped it would be, travelling out and back. The City Nightline bit yesterday, last night, was a treat for me, really. It wasn't cheap to do, but it was really great fun. Not sure I would do it that way every time. It certainly added to the length of the journey, but it was brilliant. I got to the end of the journey, despite the delay, still feeling quite refreshed, the shower having helped quite a lot. Travelling out, Eurostar was pretty good. Staff at Brussels, very good. Cologne, I wasn't met. That was a bit of a struggle. I didn't know the station. However, I did have a reasonable idea of the geography, which meant that I knew that coming in from the west, if I wanted to take Vance out and stand on the bit of ground outside the cathedral, which I knew stands even to the south of the station, I knew that I would have to go find a way down and then turn right. Coming back into the station, a little bit more tricky. I didn't have a clue where any of the platforms were. I had to use my best German, which isn't very good, to try and ask. Including asking one person who, after I struggled through 30 seconds worth of garbled German, then answered me in his perfect American English voice. Wish he'd stopped me a little earlier, but never mind. A little bit disappointed at the lack of announcements and things at Cologne. The train for Hamburg came in without any announcement whatsoever, as far as I could hear. And it was only that I went and asked somebody that I managed to catch it. A member of staff who had caught up with me on the platform and said he'd come back, never did. But I found the way. That train journey was good fun. The staff on the train were brilliant. Couldn't fault them at all, really. Time in Germany was very good. I was staying with friends, and so I was never really on my own to roam, but Vance was worked at various points, and he coped very well. I think in accessibility terms, Germany's pretty good, really. In the streets are fairly clear, crossings are clear. Most of the crossings seem to make a noise of some sort. Not all of them. And where they don't, that would be a bit of an issue, given that it's actually illegal to cross the road in Germany when it's red. Don't know if they make an exception for guide dog owners. Only had one place in the whole time I was there Reject Vance, and that was a bar that we were just using to go to the toilet in. We didn't actually try to take him in, but the woman made it very clear that she didn't want Vance inside. It wasn't really worth pushing the point. We were only using it for the toilet. Had we been going in there for longer or to eat or something, then I most definitely would have pushed the point. Journey back. Sorry for all the ums. It's my brain trying to get into gear. City Nightline train was just brilliant. Everything I hoped it would be. Really good fun. The cabin was great. It was a first class single cabin. In the UK, when I travel by sleeper, I say when I have travelled by sleeper, the Caledonian sleeper up to Scotland, they don't allow guide dogs in shared cabins or in the seated area, but they upgrade you to a single cabin for free. Sadly, in Europe, it seems that they don't feel able to offer the same level of accessibility, so I had to pay to be in a single sleeper. And then there weren't any second class ones left, so it was first class. Now, I wasn't too upset to do this. It was good fun doing it, but if I were to do it more often, then there's no way that I could afford that fare. And it seems a little unfair that just because I have a guide dog, I have to pay that additional amount in order to travel on a sleeper train. That said, the service on the train was very good indeed. The coach attendant was excellent. There wasn't always the information I needed in English, particularly once we got over the French border. Before the French border, all the announcements were made in German and English. After the French border, everything was in French only. Quelle surprise. I'm not convinced that the coach attendant understood the French ones either, but we found our way, and it was a fun journey, even if it lasted a bit long. Poor old Vance, he's having spent a couple of times on grass in Germany, then started refusing to go on concrete, and little did he know that he would be away from any spending opportunity for so long. Before the journey, he last went in Bokel, where my friends live, I'm losing track of times. I think it would have been before 5 o'clock German time, so 4 o'clock British summer time. He then didn't urinate again until we got back near home this evening at gone 6 o'clock British time, so over 24 hours without going to the toilet in that regard. He did his big one, his number two, in the middle of a pavement right outside a cafe in Paris. Not desperately helpful. Everyone was thankfully very nice and directed me to pick it all up, but could have been better. Anyway, coming in on the sleeper train, got into Gare de l'Est. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that dreadfully, but I do apologise. My French is pretty well non-existent. We got in there at around, I think it was about 5 to 1 or so. The final few miles, we crawled at such a snail's pace. At around 12:15, they announced, I think, that we were reaching our final destination. And we then crawled along at barely walking pace for what seemed like an utter eternity until we made it into the station at about 5 to 1. Gare de l'Est was fine to navigate in. Information from seat61.com told me that I had to turn right and walk to the side entrance, turn right again, walk up some steps, and then take the second turning on the left, and then walk ahead, and I'd reach Gare du Nord, and that was spot on. The Seat 61 directions even work for somebody who can't read signposts or see the street names or clearly see the buildings or anything like that. Working your guide dog who's never been there before. So that was pretty good, really. Found the way pretty easily. Went up to Eurostar. Staff were brilliant there. Suggested that I might want to catch an earlier train, exchange my ticket, told me when I needed to come back. Vance and I then went on a little walk. Now, I had wanted to have a proper walk around Paris, but the lack of time meant that putting the bags into left luggage, well, finding left luggage in the first place, would be simply impracticable, given the time available. So the best I could manage was a walk around the block. It was tricky, let's admit it. Not the easiest thing I've ever done. I couldn't see at all how you access the pedestrian crossings. There was no obvious button or anything to feel, nothing, no noise. Couldn't see any of the lights. I tended, therefore, to wait until somebody else crossed and then follow them. But it was a bit hairy at times, and as seems to be always to be the case, the traffic in Paris is a law unto itself, and I'm not sure traffic stopping is necessarily an indication of it being red, but there we go. Lot of street furniture, lot of bollard, lots of distractions for the dog. I think my view of it was probably coloured slightly by the fact that I was dragging round a suitcase and a heavy rucksack at the same time. So I probably wasn't in the best mood really for appreciating any good points. I walked a couple of blocks. I didn't want to go too far for fear of getting lost or something. I'd like to go back and give it a proper go, and I think I may well do a day trip at some point in the summer. At least then I won't have bags and I can just wander and give myself plenty of time. And if I do have an exchangeable ticket, then if I miss the train or something, I will be okay. So yeah, walked a couple of blocks, walked back again, planned to find a cafe or something, but didn't do very well at that. Just had a wander in the station. An Australian lady came up and asked me all about the dog. Wanted to know everything about where I'd been and where I was going. And then, funnily enough, didn't seem so interested in telling me when I asked her. Often seems to be the way. People are very interested to talk about the dog and about what I'm doing and about my life and how on earth I drag myself across Europe when I can't see very much. But they're not too interested to spill the beans on their private life. Never mind. At least people are showing an interest in the dog, and if I can spread the word about the wonderful things that guide dogs do, then I suppose it's a good thing. So then went and checked in. Again, Eurostar staff, superb, really brilliant. They upgraded me to Standard Premier, which is a sort of equivalent of first class these days. It's in the first class carriages, you have first class service, so it's effectively first class. I think they put me there because there's a bit more space for the dog. I think I was in one of the companion seats for the wheelchair space. So I had a meal on board and a couple of their small bottles of wine. I hasten to add these aren't full-size ones, they're sort of large glass size, I think 250ml or so. And that was all very nice and rounded off the day quite nicely, really. The Eurostar kept on apologising over the tannoy for being 12 and then 15 and then 20 minutes late. Who cares, quite frankly? When I've been 3.5 hours late into Paris, 20 minutes really is of very little consequence. Was met on the platform by the customer services manager, a colleague of hers, to go through the paperwork and things. We wandered down the platform, did the paperwork, and then they came to check the microchip. And this is the bit I've been dreading the whole time. Everything else is pretty much within my control. I could get the vet to do the right, you know, give the right treatments and fill the thing in properly. My vet had checked the microchip before travelling, had checked everything else. The only thing not in my control was, would that microchip be found? We waited. And I waited, and they scanned, and they changed the batteries. And Gordon Bennett, my heart was in my mouth. There's so much at stake. Had they not found the microchip, 6 months in quarantine for Vance would have been looming. 6 months without him, and 6 months for him such a sociable dog who needs to be with people he knows and in places he knows, he would have been stuck in quarantine for that time. Just a thought that just couldn't bear to think about. But thankfully, they found the microchip. The sound changed from beep, beep, beep to beep. And that seemed to make the difference between not finding anything and finding it, and suddenly we were on the go, and the staff very kindly showed me through to the Thames Link station, and I returned to sunny southwest London via West Hampstead and London Overground. And Vance finally urinated in his favourite spot before we finished off walking home. And here we are now, sitting at home. Vance is sleeping in his bed, I'm sitting on mine, looking forward to bath and bed and food and wine, more wine, maybe, and the royal wedding, hooray! So, this is the end of this bit of the series of audio diaries. I may well keep up a diary. I've quite enjoyed doing this, actually. I probably won't do it quite as frequently. There isn't as much to say during the week, really. Can't really say much about work. But if there are things happening that are worth reporting on, then I think I may well report on them. Royal wedding may well be one. I certainly intend to be out on the streets on Friday. So that'll be a bit of excitement for Vance. And so I may well do a report back on that. Last thing I want to do, though, is a few thanks. Most importantly of all, I need to thank my hosts, my friends in Germany, Dieter and Mitty Wiesmann, and their son Christian, and Roland, and their dog, Lucy. All, including Lucy most of the time, were brilliant hosts, made me feel totally welcome. They're good friends, and I look forward to seeing them again, hopefully soon. Thank you too to other friends in Germany, in Ellerhoop. Brilliant seeing everybody. To the organisers of the twinning trip, the Hurst Green Twinning Committee and the Ellerhoop one. To my dad, who has a hand in that. To the coach drivers for the British travellers. That's Robert and Junior. Both were good fun and great company when I travelled on the coach and when they joined us for the tour and the boat ride. Thank you to the staff on the various bits of the journey. Particularly worthy of mention are the receptionist in the Taylor's Lounge at Brussels Midi, who was very kind and looked after my bags whilst I had a walk around there. To the person who I should have met up with at Hamburg, and I'm sorry, I didn't realise that I was meant to be meeting somebody, but he came and found us, and whilst there was a bit of confusion, it was good of him to actually see it through and come and find me. Thank you to the train manager, the female train manager on IC 2026 last Thursday from Cologne to Hamburg Hauptbahnhof. She was brilliant, really lovely, brought water for Vance, checked that I was okay, found me a good place to sit. It was really, really nice. The other conductor on the train was good too, and it made it a really enjoyable journey and stress-free, or at least reduced the stress. thank you to the carriage attendant on the City Nightline train last night. He was excellent, helped me at the end, made sure I headed off in the right direction at Gare de l'Est. And thank you to the Eurostar staff, who really were brilliant. I'm afraid I didn't get any names, but the gentleman who helped me when I first went up to Eurostar and got my ticket exchanged to the lady who showed me through security, and indeed to the security staff who were all very friendly and kind. But thank you, yes, to the person who showed me through to the train, to the staff on the train, and to the staff at St Pancras, to the customer services manager there, and her colleague, who was so good in good spirits and filled out the paperwork and showed me on for my helped me find my onward connection. So, thank you for all that, and thank you for all my listeners and those who've been reading my tweets. I've gained a few new followers during this time, and I hope that everybody's enjoyed listening to this, and I hope that they will enjoy listening to whatever I post in the future. But from me and from Vance, a big thank you, and good night.